Well, hello, y'all.
Hello. Are you one of the Hee Haw Honeys?
Because
that's what they would say. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. This is the bonus hour. You're not dreaming it. It's actually happening. It's 60 minutes of unbridled entertainment provided by us. Thank you for being here. Wendy, if we may, we have to start today's show with a little bit of behind the scenes. Prior to the bonus hour, when we were doing the regular broadcast, the 10 to noon show, tempers flared. I don't know what happened. I don't know what craziness was going on behind the scenes. I'm just a hired gun. I just come in and do what I do. But there was some friction between yourself and Jasmine, our producer, our long-suffering producer. And people texted in. They called in. They stopped by. They said, what can we do to make this right? Jasmine, what happened?
Nothing really happened. People thought I was being snippy at Wendy, but they don't know that I'm really, like, sarcastic.
Yes.
I was like, you guys, I'm, like, doing 12 things. I can't do all this at one time. But people thought I was being mean, so I just want to clear my name before they take me to jail.
Now, so, no one's taking you to producer jail.
We had a contest.
We were giving away a 4-pack of passes to the Blackhawks convention, which we have more to give away all throughout the week on 7:20 a.m. between 10 and noon.
We knew the name of the winner, but there was some confusion about what town she was in.
Well, I asked what town, and Jasmine said she's from Elburn. And yes. I'm like, I've never heard of Elburn. Mm-hmm. I said, do you mean Elburn?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, it's Elburn. So I looked it up, and there is no Elburn, Illinois.
Oh.
There's Auburn, Illinois, or Elburn, and I didn't want to say the wrong thing. So passive-aggressively, I said, I put her on the spot and said, Jasmine, how do you say it?
Right.
And that's when the fire began.
That's when the roller coaster fell off the hinge.
It didn't fall off the
wow. There was a lot of name-calling.
There was no name-calling.
Wendy cuddled up in a ball on the side of the studio and wept. And I said, Wendy, come on. You got to finish the show.
No. I mean,
Jasmine
I put her on the
dart
spot.
At you at some point.
And she still didn't give me an answer.
Oh.
That's the way to do it.
All right.
I didn't think. And I said something. What did I say? Like, I'm in trouble now, or I just got yelled at.
You didn't even yell at me.
I didn't. So I had to come and clear my name.
You're fine.
Everything's all right, though.
I'm good. And
you're not mad at Wendy anymore. Wendy, you're not mad at Jasmine.
I don't think there's protesters.
We're both
outside.
Mad at you, though.
That's impossible. There's no way that could happen.
It is hard to be mad at you. I don't know how your wife can ever get mad at you.
It's impossible.
Because you will always do something to make her laugh when she's mad.
Plus, I have the most pinchable cheeks in North America.
I'm leaving.
Earlier in the show, we were talking about this girl in San Diego who made a commencement speech in which she called out some of her teachers and school administrators who she felt were not doing a good job. She mentioned that her guidance counselor did nothing at all to help her, that there was a teacher who showed up drunk from time to time. She just went on and she took out anybody in the school that was not, according to her opinion, doing their job. So there was a little debate on whether or not it was appropriate to do that. And I said, it's very strange because in other years, we've had a bunch of celebrities who make commencement speeches, usually at colleges, and it gets a lot of airplay. And this year, I haven't seen a single one. Have you?
Mm-mm.
Nowhere. Then it reminded me, a couple of years ago, a man named Richard T. Jones, who is an actor. I could read you his credits, but you'll get to hear some of his credits. Richard T. Jones was hired to do the commencement speech at a school called UMAC. Now, I don't know what that is. I know it's in Maryland, but I think there's more to it than just University of Maryland, because why would they put the ack at the end? So there must be. And yes, I could Google it, but I'd rather figure it out on my own. Thank you. So Richard is asked to speak at their graduation ceremony at the University of Maryland, AC, maybe because they have air conditioning. I just figured it out. And unfortunately for him, a couple of things took place. Number one, before he went on to speak, a doctor, actually two doctors went on and they spoke. And they gave very good speeches.
Because they're doctors.
They're doctors. Right. And also they prepared, which is something Richard T. Jones forgot to do. Now, I don't know Richard T. Jones. I don't think I've ever seen his work. You're about to hear some of his credits. I've never seen any of the movies or TV shows. He could be the best actor in the world. I don't know that. But on this particular day, when speaking at the University of Maryland with air conditioning, he did not do a very good job, Wendy. Now, I will warn you, the man who's up in front of him, the dean of students at UMAC, gives him a very, very nice build-up, mentions everything he's ever done. I mean, he doesn't leave anything out. So that goes on about 2 or 2.5 minutes. And then Richard's speech is just 9 minutes of just rambling. So we don't have to listen to the whole thing. It's probably best that we don't. But whenever you're tired of it, just say the word and we'll move on. But let's start out with the dean of students there at UMAC, where he's introducing Richard and making us all believe that we're about to be, you know, entertained, enlightened. All listen, right. Listen.
As tradition would have it, every university commencement includes an inspirational speaker, someone whose outstanding achievements and wise counsel are both stirring and exemplary. And this morning's speaker is no exception. Like most gifted character actors, Richard T. Jones' resume reflects his incredible range of talent, as well as his professional dedication, both of which are attributes he shares with our graduates today. The son of a Major League Baseball player and a computer analyst, Mr. Jones was born in Kobe, Japan, and grew up in Carson, California. He left there to attend Tuskegee University, where he became interested in acting after enrolling in a drama class. So following his college stage debut in the play A Raisin in the Sun, Mr. Jones made up his mind to become an actor rather than an attorney as he had planned. He made his first significant on-screen debut in 1993, playing Ike Turner Jr. in the drama What's Love Got to Do With It?
Oh.
From there, Mr. Jones went on to appear in a variety of films and television shows across an impressive span of genres, from comedy and drama to science fiction and psychological thrillers. And today, his credits include, among others, movie roles in Renaissance Man, Jury Duty, Kiss the Girls, and Vantage Point, as well as TV guest appearances in Bones, CSI, Miami, Grey's Anatomy, Ally McBeal, and NYPD Blue. Mr. Jones also has had a few ongoing roles along the way. He was memorable in his supporting role opposite Amy Brenneman on the legal series Judging Amy,
wow,
in which he played the steadfast court services officer Bruce Van Exel. And in 2008, he was cast as James Ellison, a tough and certainly intelligent FBI agent in the popular sci-fi show Terminator, The Chronicles of Sarah Connor.
Jazz, hold it for just a second.
So,
first of all, who said no to this job before they go, we'll get the guy who played Bruce Van Exel on 3 episodes of Judging Amy? I mean, really, they were digging pretty deep when they went with this guy. But the dean isn't leaving out a single thing he's ever done.
Right.
He's mentioning everything. And they keep showing, because there's video of this, they keep showing, first the dean is speaking, cut to him, looking very cool and suave and sophisticated, like, all right, this is just setting the groundwork. I'm about to take that stage, and I'm going to change your lives. You just see him sitting there like, just let me up there. I can't wait to share my wisdom with these kids.
Roaring to get up. Raring.
Both. Everything. All right. Everything. All right. Here's a little more introduction, and then we'll finally hear
quite an intro.
The words of wisdom. It's not done yet. He's almost done, but quite an intro. Right. All right. Richard T. Jones coming up in just a second.
So please join me in warmly welcoming this morning's commencement speaker, Mr. Richard T. Jones.
All right, Jess, hold it for a second. I want you to try to figure out, like, at what point during the speech do you and everybody listening realize that Richard didn't prepare for this at all?
All right.
All right. See how deep it is. I'll start the timer, but you're about to see that this guy didn't prepare in the least. Listen.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you, doctor. Wow.
in a big building with a bunch of world changers. Wow. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me. I had this great speech ready for you guys. Then they put me behind a bunch of doctors. They put an actor behind a bunch of doctors. And they said everything I was going to say.
That's where I realized it.
Right there. Stop it for a second.
Right there. What he said, I had a great speech, but you know how doctors are. They come up, they steal your best stuff. I got nothing left.
Okay, first of all, a doctor will not steal your best stuff because you're an actor.
Right. They weren't in Judging Amy. That guy was.
I mean, at the very beginning where he's like, wow, I'm in a room of world changers. He's going somewhere with this.
That response, by the way, is the best response he's going to get through the whole speech, because you see the audience realize, did he just come in here that unprepared? He's got nothing. You'll hear. All right, here's a little bit more. Richard T. Jones.
Here, I'll just keep talking until I say something.
That's a problem to hear that.
That's a problem.
It's,
Also, listen for... Hold on, Jez. Listen for this. Remember when you would take an essay test in a class and you didn't know the answer? And you would just...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the Magna Carta was important for many reasons, many varied reasons, some of which are evidence, some of which you're just rambling, you're just going, at some point, something's going to make sense, right? That's all he's doing here. Listen.
My duty here to encourage you to continue to focus on lifelong learning. And I had such great analogies. I was going to tell you about, I had such great quotes.
Well, where are they?
Use them.
Every one was used.
Every quote.
So this is going to be good. I'm glad I looked up a word called improv, because that's what's going to happen here. Improv.
Should have looked up the word preparation instead of improv.
But what I have for you today is this is so funny. What I have for you today is
nothing.
Extraordinary thought.
Extraordinary what?
An extraordinary thought.
It's so important as you go out and change the world and create new things that are going to blow everybody's mind.
None of which you'll hear today, but in the future.
Wake up every day knowing that it only takes one thought to change lives.
Unfortunately, I came up one thought short.
One thought?
Men and women yes. of our history, such as Martin Luther King.
That's pandering when you just pull out the name of somebody great.
For civil rights, just one thought formed his whole destiny. So I believe in extraordinary thoughts.
Be honest, didn't you think I believe the children are the future? Didn't you think he was going to go
that
way? I did too.
This is really, stop it for a second. This is so embarrassing.
It's awful. It's awful. So this goes on for 9 minutes, and it's so evident that he didn't prepare in any way, shape, or form, because he keeps referencing the fact that he's got quotes and analogies, but they've all been said. He keeps saying that. He keeps saying, I'm up in front of world changers. He keeps throwing that in because it worked the first time, so he keeps saying it. But then, finally, the dean comes up when he's done, and he gets...
How long did this go on?
9 minutes. 9 minutes. So he gets like this polite, very polite smattering of applause. And then the dean of students who brought him up goes, Richard, thank you for those thoughts. And the crowd goes nuts because everybody at that point knows.
He had no thoughts.
You got the wrong guy.
If he shortened it down a little bit, it could have worked, you know, to even just to say something like, you know, I had some things prepared, but the doctors took all my material. Quite honestly, what I'm here to teach you today is life's going to throw some things at you.
Yes.
And maybe you're not always prepared, but make the best of it.
Right.
Achieve great things. Thank you very much.
Right. Right.
Wouldn't that have been better?
Anything would have been better.
But cut yourself off at some point.
Right.
It's going to be short and sweet.
He just danced for, there's 9 minutes of him dancing around the fact that he had stuff.
Oh, he was not dancing.
He wasn't dancing well.
He's a bad dancer.
He's a horrible dancer. But you see it in the looks of the kid. They keep showing the kids, and the kids are watching, and they're squinting like, huh? Like, isn't this the point where somebody inspires us, not teaches us? Well, he did. He taught them a valuable lesson, which is be prepared, Cub Scouts. You need to come prepared. But he didn't. But then they didn't show him accepting a check at the end, but he got paid. Somebody gave him money to make that speech.
He should give everything back
everything.
And then pay them interest.
I know.
That's terrible.
I know. All right.
Who was lucky enough to bring that to us?
That was sponsored, Wendy, by American Weather Makers, Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. You already knew that. We'll give you some news in just a little bit and then more show. Thank you, Jen. Wendy, can I tell you something strange? Are you in the mood for something strange?
Always from you.
Twice in the last week, I have run into WGN news staff out and about town, walking around the streets of Chicago. One, our own Jen DeSalvo, sitting right over there.
Me.
The other, Kim. You've met Kim, right?
Who is normally here?
Yeah.
Oh, Kim Gordon.
Yeah, Kim Gordon.
Okay.
So in both cases, you are so in the zone, Jen. You were just so straight ahead that you didn't notice me next to you talking to you.
Yeah.
Kim the same. Or maybe it's me. Maybe you guys are just doing everything you can to avoid me. But in both cases, I had to stop and go, hey, it's me. We work together. Hi. Like that. You seem very lost.
I was very excited to see you. I was very lost. I just had free time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I should use the free time to go shopping on Michigan Avenue,
mm-hmm.
if I should go find the train, if
mm-hmm.
I should take a bus. I was so like discombobulated.
Where would you take a bus to during a free, you just had like a free hour?
To get home.
Oh, you would
no,
go home?
I had been working at my other job, and I was done by, I don't know, 1 p.m. Is that when we saw each other?
Yeah, right. A little after that. A little after.
My dog was at daycare until like 3:30, 4 o'clock. I didn't have any responsibilities for a couple hours. What
you
do I do?
You could have gone wherever you wanted.
Yeah. I just didn't have a full bank account, so that's what stifled me on Michigan Avenue.
Did you have your earbuds on when you were walking?
No, I don't do that.
Okay, because I bet Kim does.
Did not.
So they just don't talk to you?
I was crossing a street, and she was crossing the other way, and I go, well, at some point, she's going to see me. I'm 20 yards out. I'm 15 yards out. I'm 5 yards out. She's just staring straight ahead.
Doesn't that hurt you that you're not noticeable?
No.
You're like the invisible man.
But I'm the opposite. I see this in the office a lot with a lot of office workers. Like, we have at WGN, we have glass offices. So you can see in and people can see out.
Yeah,
whatever.
So keep your
like
pants
on.
I've learned that by the way. But,
and like, there's cameras everywhere. So definitely keep your pants
there
on.
There are?
Yeah, there's cameras everywhere. But I notice, like, no matter who passes by.
I was rearranging my underpants.
Highest rated 20 minutes in our history, by the way. Whenever anyone walks by the office, I notice them. I acknowledge them, certainly, if I know them.
Uh-huh.
But I know everybody who's walked past. But there's other people, I guess people who are way harder working than I am, that they don't flinch. They just go about their business. Thousands of people could walk past. They don't make any notice of it at all. Isn't that strange? Walter Jacobson is great at that.
Yeah.
You can walk past him 5 or 6 times. Sometimes I'll dance past. I'll just like, he doesn't even look up.
I think you'll see that, though, with a lot of newscasters. And that's like one of our secret talents is that there can be a marching band that walks into the studio behind us and we
You're
don't break.
You're focused.
Okay, not
You're
me.
So focused.
I am just
notice?
So easily distracted.
Mm-hmm. Notice Squirrel. Everybody.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I got it. That's my reason. What's your reason?
I don't know. I just like to be in on whatever's going on. I want to know what's going on all the time.
That's because you're a mover and a shaker.
More a shaker. I just pick a place and stay there and shake. I don't move and shake.
You brought up a good point, though, with like the earbuds in the ear.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't do it. And I don't look at
either.
My phone when I walk.
I do not. I just get to where I'm going. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have earbuds, but I don't really use them.
Yeah.
Maybe because I have them on all day.
Yeah.
You know, I know that my kids, and Jim, my husband, when they're walking the dog, they have earbuds on all the time.
You
and
got
then,
earbuds for your dog last week, didn't you?
Yes.
That was weird. I never saw that before. Are you seeing this a lot? People who are walking. Okay, Chicago is a major metropolitan city, a very busy city. Oh, Wendy, take a look at a map. It's one of your bigger cities.
Oh, my God. I didn't know
so
that.
So you'll see people walking on a crosswalk where there's cars kind of dodging around them, but the people who are walking are texting while they're walking, so they're not really paying any attention to the traffic patterns around them.
I thought it was illegal to have your phone out in a crosswalk.
Just hit them.
There's some good advice. Teach them a lesson.
I mean, I don't know the laws behind it, but if it is illegal to have your phone out in a crosswalk and you did hit somebody...
It should be illegal.
Like,
right?
I don't know what the... Yeah.
Because you...
It's distracted
it's
walking.
Pedestrian.
You want to be up on what everyone around you is doing mm-hmm. with their cars that will win that battle more times than not.
Yeah.
If it's a person versus a car. But I see it every day now as people just walking across, just slowly texting. They're smiling at the text that they're sending.
That's their business, though. Why should there be a law?
For the safety of every... Wouldn't you feel awful if you hit somebody... It was their fault. You hit them, but it was their fault because they weren't focused on where they were
going. I can tell you that the people who are looking down at their phones with their earbuds in are playing Pong on those sidewalks.
Right.
And if I am up without earbuds running at you, I don't want to be going back and forth and trying to play Pong to try and get around you.
Yeah.
Look up.
Right.
See what's coming at you.
Just run right into them.
I mean,
really?
Is that assault then? Like,
yeah.
Then
I'm
in trouble.
See what happens.
Yeah, it's such a fine line, but I don't know. There's just too much focus on.
But I don't want more laws. Come on, more laws,
but
more taxes.
But
what
these
else?
Laws are good laws. This is a good. That's a good law.
We should be able to police ourselves, don't you think?
It's not working.
Well, it
used to work. But
it's not going to work
technology.
If they find you. They don't even find people. Do you know how many people I see literally talking on the phone?
Yeah.
Not even... And
no one's getting pulled over.
No. And one of our cars is an older car, so you can't do like a hands-free.
Yeah.
So you can put the phone on speakerphone and talk. And I was explaining to one of my sons that you can't be holding it.
Right.
You can put it on... There's a little spot near the dashboard. I said you can put it there and speakerize it.
Yes.
But if you're holding it, they're going to pull you over.
Yes.
Even though that's better than holding it up to your ear and get...
It's still a distraction.
But no one pulls anybody over for it anyway. So what's the difference?
What if the police...
We don't have enough police to do it.
I got pulled over the first week this damn law went into effect.
Oh, really?
And
you're
it was,
the only one in Illinois who's been pulled over.
And it was like $100 and some on Lakeshore Drive. And I said, you know, I was just checking because my kid's school... I'm lying. I stopped right there.
You?
Yeah, I said I was just on the phone. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I thought maybe, you know, oh, he's going to let me go. But it was just brand new. So he wanted to be like, yeah, I'm enforcing this.
Why won't the city of Chicago deputize us so that we could, on our way home,
citizens
on our way
arrest?
In, yes.
No.
You see somebody doing it, they give us a special badge. It's not a full police badge, but it's a, you know, it's the kind you get.
Because I don't trust those people. You're going to cut somebody off and they're going to go, I'll show you.
No.
I'm going to call the police and say you were on your phone because you pissed me off.
Yeah. I just think all the money problems this city has, if you really want to get that money back, fine all the people you're supposed to be fining for texting while driving. Deficit solved.
Isn't Pritzker rich? Why can't he just pay all of Illinois' bills off? Just get like catch us up.
Right.
Here's
even
the pension
Steven.
Fund.
Right.
Yeah. Just come on.
Right.
Here's healthcare.
You got the money. We got the beer.
Yeah. Come on, Richie Rich. Play by the rules.
You got the time. We got the beer.
That's how it, yeah.
I like we got, you
no,
got
time
the money.
Is
we
money.
Got
yes.
Money is time.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I am so sick of more of these.
Well, it shouldn't, just because he's rich, he shouldn't be penalized and asked to pick up extra, I don't think. You were kidding, right? Please
yes,
tell me
I'm
you were kidding.
Good.
But there are a whole bunch of new taxes coming down. But I really think if there's that big of a deficit and you've already set a law saying you can't distracted drive, you can't text while driving, make it pay off. Make people pay for it. Because I've never seen anybody. I know you've been pulled over the one time.
Yeah,
but
how many
it.
Years ago did this thing happen?
That's it.
2012, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, it was at least...
Yeah.
A long 7 years.
That's when it
ago,
happened?
Maybe. Yeah. Wow. Was right when this came into effect on Lakeshore Drive.
Because now when I see people on their phones, I'm like, what year do you think this is? Because it's like, it's been so long.
Right.
And there was one time, and I remember I brought this up on the air, taking Ogden Avenue, there's a speed camera on Ogden, and this was like really bad weather. It was snowing, and there was some construction going on Ogden. And Ogden, right near, is it Douglas Park, I think, that's
okay,
around
the city?
There? Yeah. I was, there's an inner portion of Ogden Avenue, and then there's like two like exterior streets.
Yes.
The boulevards.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. So I was at a light, and there are people like coming straight towards me on my part of Ogden, not on the boulevards.
Right.
And it was snowing, and I was like, are you kidding me? So I waited for them to go away. The light turned green. I had to wait two lights because people, again, going the wrong way because there's construction and snow. Yeah. So I finally get through, and I maybe hammered the gas pedal a little bit because I was just so relieved to get past this. And I saw the flash of a camera, and I'm like, damn it, I'm going to get a ticket. Yeah. And I did, and I paid it because I was speeding. I got another ticket, and I, honest to God, do not think it's me. I think it went off. It's in the same spot, and I know now that it's 30 miles per hour, so I make sure I'm going 30 miles per hour, albeit where the camera is. But I am positive that I pay attention to that. I got another ticket from that same camera. Now, couldn't another car have triggered it going the opposite way? It's $100. Isn't it worth me trying to dispute it?
If it was a car going the other way, there's any intersection that has a camera set up, they
it's
don't just have
it's not an intersection. It's in the middle of the block.
Do they have a video with it?
No, it's just a picture, and it's my car.
Oh, then it's you.
Well, but someone going the other way could have tripped it off, is what I'm saying.
They'd be able to tell by the placement of the cars, though.
But I'm telling you, I have not sped since I got that one ticket.
Really? 7 years ago?
No. This was a different
topic. No, that's a different one.
That was for talking on the phone. This is for speeding.
I thought that was the same day. I thought you just got all your tickets in one day.
I get you, earlier this year. This was 6 months ago. So I know not to speed on that area of Ogden.
Right.
And I laugh when the light goes off because people, it seems weird to have to go 30. It seems like you should be going faster, but I learned my lesson. Yeah. I'm not going to waste $100. I mean, it says I can dispute it and contest it.
Why
but,
don't you?
Because it's a mail-in. They're not going to say, oh, really? Here's your car.
No, but what they would do is if you're contesting it, they would have a court date. They'd set up a court date.
I don't want to miss work for a court date.
I guess.
They're really grumpy there.
But see, that's why everybody pays it. And I'm telling you, the second one is not mine.
You should contest it then.
Send
in a proxy. Do you have a proxy?
Well, the only thing is they send a picture of your car, but anything could have triggered that camera. There was a whole suit about these cameras were
they
incorrect.
They took a lot of them down because of that.
Yeah, and those were mainly at red light cameras. These are speed cameras. But I looked to see if there was a car going the other way that might have triggered it, and I didn't see any. That's why I think they're going to say...
Do they send you a picture of it? And what? So you see your car. Your car was definitely there that day.
Oh, yeah. It's the way I take to work every day, and it was the right timeline.
Can you tell that it's you in the driver's seat?
Yeah, like maybe it was not
you. But it's
you.
My license plate number.
Maybe it was your husband.
No, because I go to...
you go that
It was
route.
Your time.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, the 9 o'clock hour. It was a little after 9. I'd go there every day. I know to slow down.
I would plead guilty by insanity.
Oh, my God. See what happens. So... of no assistance to me.
You guys are not really here when it's dark out, but right down here across the river from us, there's a red light camera on Columbus slash when it turns into Fairbanks right in front of NBC Tower there.
Yeah.
And it just constantly goes off. The light will be green. It's a red light camera, and it's just flashing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Have you gotten a ticket from it?
I have not gotten a ticket from there, knock on wood.
Okay, because if I did, I would certainly say, you know, someone needs to fix this or take it down because it's just...
You could videotape the camera saying...
Well, also, I have been snapped going through when it's green.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, the light will turn green, and we'll start going through, and it'll be like, snap, snap, snap. So the sensor is just way off some way. And I'm sure that the city's seeing, oh, this is a green light. These cars are going through, and they're just not issuing the tickets.
Oh.
But, yeah, it doesn't stop.
It only does this at night, Jen?
When it's dark out.
When it's dark out.
Yeah. Like,
there's
not during
a solar sensor that is not working or something.
Maybe.
I don't know why it continues.
Wow.
I think I'm going to contest this because
You should definitely contest it.
And then if I have to pay, I will. But I mean, I want to even say I got a ticket, check your records like 6 months ago, and I learned my lesson. I now only go 30 miles per hour, even though I think it's way too slow.
Yeah.
Should I leave that part out?
I would leave that part out.
Or like in front of schools, it'll be like 30 miles per hour on Western or, 20 miles per hour on school days when children are present.
Right.
And there was a camera in front of Lane Tech that was just going off all summer during school hours when children are not present.
Yeah, that's
the
not...
kids were inside or not, you know.
They mean like 3:30 when the school gets out or 8 in the morning. Yeah,
yeah, it was like, you know, 10:30 in the morning. There's not a soul in sight. There might be summer school, but there's no kids out. And it just kept snapping everybody that went through.
That's horrible.
I'm contesting.
You should definitely contest.
And pleading insanity.
I would do that regardless.
Thanks for the help.
If it fails, then plead insanity. Right. But just, yeah, don't give up the goods at the beginning.
You get plenty of character witnesses from work. I would go in.
I wouldn't trust one of you. Bill would say, oh, she totally did it. She confessed to
it.
Out
of her mind.
I confessed to it the first time. Yes. I was hauling ass. I'm surprised it was only $100.
Again, I'd leave that part out in court.
But I'm going to say, when I contest it via mail, I'm going to say, I got a ticket from that camera, so I'm completely aware of it. Right. I drive this route every day, and I'm very careful. Yeah. Yet I notice many other people going. Could I have been gotten, could my license plate be in as another person tripped it off?
That's a good thing to say. And also say, and by the way, Your Honor, have you lost weight? I would say
that.
You
look great
in
that
fantastic.
Robe.
You smell good. You look good. You're younger somehow. How
this
are you doing?
This is via mail. How am I going to know this?
Again, with the insanity plea, everything's allowable. You just throw that part on. She's obviously insane. She can't see us, but she knows we've lost weight.
Yeah, she works with Bill Leff every day.
She must be insane.
This is just the way my mind works, and I'm sorry. Something's been sitting in there that I want to shake out from the beginning of the show. Roy Spencer didn't know you were in Major League or Major League 2?
No, I didn't
share. How did that come up?
He didn't know I was on this show. I had to show him my, I showed him my building ID.
You were in a movie?
I was in a couple movies. Whatever.
Major League.
Whatever.
Wait, is that how you got started in radio? Or are you a movie star and I know nothing about this?
He's a comic.
A
stand-up comedian star.
I'm a renaissance man, Jen. I do a little bit of everything. Nothing well, but a little bit of everything. I'm going to find my true calling at some point.
I got to go Google you now. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Please.
Didn't you have that baseball cap during the renaissance? I only say that because you met a friend, you saw someone here off the air that you used to work with, and the first thing she said was, have you gotten a new baseball cap?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to hear that, but I felt like I wanted to defend you.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
And then I didn't defend you, and then I went ahead and made it.
And bashed me.
Well, it's kind of fun.
The only reason I didn't recognize him on the street is because he wore sunglasses.
Right.
It's like,
that's
who
my
are
disguise.
You?
That's my Clark Kent disguise.
It
you know how nobody ever
now.
Knew Superman was Clark Kent?
You're
why?
A movie star.
He's got glasses on. I can't.
Say spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. Wait, did he just say Clark Kent was. Oh, man. I was going to binge watch. Well, whatever.
I also want to say I binge watched Chernobyl.
Oh, yes.
And
it's
great.
Super good.
You've seen it,
won't
obviously.
Won't give anything away.
I have seen it.
Careful, don't give anything away.
I want to give something away that.
Oh, don't.
No, this is what I'm going to give away. What? John Williams was talking about it, and John does so much research for his shows. He really does. He does great interviews. He gave too much information away when he was discussing Chernobyl. And I found myself at a moment where I'm like, oh, I wonder. I know what's going to happen. It didn't ruin it for me, but, you know, part of going into some of these things is the wonderment of wondering what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen.
Did he tell you there's naked men in there?
Oh.
No, but that was a pleasant surprise.
I thought that's why he watched it to begin with.
I didn't know. I would have watched it sooner had I known.
Just sitting there at home with 3D glasses on.
My husband asked, is this an appropriate show to show high schoolers?
Oh.
Yes.
And I told him no because of that.
Oh, come on. That high schoolers?
Yeah, they're under 18. You can't show them nudity.
Nope. Wendy, you're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm going to let my kids watch it.
Then, well, that's your decision.
Yeah, I guess.
But I don't think
you mean like a school?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't.
A history type thing.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
There were no naked men in history. You can't show them that. Then they'll want all men in history to be naked.
There was naked men in swimming pools like 30 years ago at these same schools.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that is.
Never girls, though, right? They never had that.
No.
This is full...
Sorry, stream of conscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, frontal.
Full on Chernobyl.
It was frontal.
I can see your Chernobyl, sir.
You're glowing.
There is too much of it.
Right. That's it.
Right, but that's a bit of a spoiler, too. But, right. You know.
But now more people are going to want to watch it.
But is it one of those things, because I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. Did he give away something that's like obvious, like if you know anything about the story of Chernobyl, you know kind of what happened.
Well, you know what happened, but there are little details that
oh, specific to a character in the show.
No, specific to something they're trying after the nuclear.
All right, yeah, don't say it.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it didn't ruin it for me, but
you knew what was coming next.
Yeah, but it's just like, oh, I wonder, does this work? Does it not work? Oh, I know because John said it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it took me out of it for a half a second.
Right.
It's something, after I watched it, my kids were saying, when did this happen? And I'm like, 1986. They're like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. I mean, I was in my 20s. And they said, well, do you remember? And I said, all I really remember, it was terrible. It was tragic. A lot of people died. Yeah. But I said, I have to be honest with you. I didn't pay much attention to it because it was in Russia, not here.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if you knew there were naked men in it.
No.
You probably would have paid more attention.
Well, I don't know if you guys realize that there was a geological movement in Vladivostok, Russia this morning. There was like a 1.3 magnitude earthquake. It didn't even show up on the USGS site because they only monitor 2.5 and above. But that is on the border of both China and North Korea.
Oh.
And in that area, there is some type of like nuclear defense system. It's on the eastern border of Russia. So we get this through the newsroom. It was nothing. It was nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we're like, Chernobyl. You know, because that's the first place our minds go now after seeing this and it being top of mind. But yeah, there was some type of explosion. It was nothing of consequence to the Americans, though, or people in that region.
We are out of time.
Okay.
Jen, thanks for hanging out. Are you in again tomorrow?
I don't think so.
No?
Maybe
right.
I am.
Well,
we'll see.
We'll see. All right. That's good cliffhanger.
I might be able to be.
For the end of the show. I like a good cliffhanger. All right. We'll say goodbye next.
All right. That's it for us, Bill.
That's
I'm going to contest my speeding ticket.
You definitely should.
I know a lot of times it takes me a couple times to learn.
Yeah.
But $100 for a speeding ticket.
It's outrageous.
On a route I take every day. Yeah. I learned my lesson after the first $100
Stop
I lost.
Stop speeding, you said.
Yep.
In that area. Right? In other places, it's the Daytona 500. All right, that's it
Wendy
for today's
show.
That's perfect because they rhyme. That's it for today's show. We'll have another one tomorrow. More rhyming fun.
Boy, that just tickles your fancy.
That was great because your first name and the last name, they rhymed. That was great. All right, bye, everybody. Thank you for listening. Bye, Wendy.
See you,
and
Bill.
Ready. They rhyme.